To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, August 26th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Algorithms touch more aspects of our lives than ever before. What you see on social media, who's eligible for loans, and much, much more. But what happens when those algorithms contain biases? On today's show, WSJ Pro reporter Jared Counsell will explain algorithmic bias and how some companies are working to counteract it. That's after these headlines. A federal judge in California has granted the maker of Fortnite a partial win in its battle against Apple. The judge said Epic Games can keep using Apple's software development tools, but Fortnite will have to stay out of the App Store for now. You might remember that earlier this month, both Apple and Google removed the game from their app stores. That was after Epic implemented a new feature that bypassed the cut that Apple and Google take on purchases in the app. And the Chinese fintech company Ant Group filed paperwork to go public yesterday. Ant is the maker of the hugely popular payments and lifestyle app Alipay. And this filing represents the first public disclosure of the company's size and scale. Here's our financial editor, Charles Farrell, with what we found out.
We learned that it is really, really, really big. I mean, I think that was probably well understood. They're one of the dominant payment platforms in China. That's ubiquitous there. But it really gave us a sense of the scale. There are more than about a billion users. 700 million of them use it regularly. Very wide merchant acceptance. The revenue is about the same. It's sort of between Visa and MasterCard in size. It's quite profitable. This is a really, really big company. It's possibly going to be one of the biggest IPOs ever. It's a big operation.
Coming up, we'll talk about algorithmic bias and what some companies are doing to combat it. That's next.
I work out every day. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 24. COVID won't kill me.
I have antibodies. COVID won't kill
me. It's been a long week. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 25. COVID won't kill me.
I'm partying outside. COVID won't kill
me. I don't need to wear a mask around my friends. COVID won't kill
me. I'm 23. COVID won't kill me.
If I haven't gotten it yet, COVID won't kill me.
I'm young. COVID won't kill me.
Famous last words. Don't let them be yours. Socially distance. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Algorithms play a big part in our daily lives, from deciding what ads to serve us, to what comes up in your search results, to whether you get an interview for your dream job. But some have pointed out that algorithms don't always treat everyone fairly. Calls to address the issue of algorithmic bias are reaching a fever pitch amid a summer of racial unrest and protests. Now, some companies are taking action. LinkedIn said yesterday that it's introducing a new tool to help it figure out where its algorithms contain bias so they can remove it. Our reporter Jared Counsell joins us to explain. Jared, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So for people who might not be familiar, what is algorithmic bias and why is it a concern?
Yeah, so algorithmic bias, at its essence, it is when an algorithm is making decisions that adversely impact one group of people, you know, and then making different decisions for another group of people. So one of the most common examples we hear about today is algorithmic bias with respect to facial recognition tools and how these tools are not effective, or at least not as effective as identifying women and people of color as they are with identifying white men. So these algorithms fail. That's one example. There's also algorithmic bias in there can be algorithmic bias in algorithms that help make financial decisions, like whether or not somebody gets a loan, and in some cases, hiring decisions, which applications get looked at and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
This might sound like a silly question, but how is it possible for an algorithm to be biased? Isn't it basically just code?
Yeah. So there's really like two main sources of bias. One has to do with the data. So if it's, you know, mostly being trained on a data set that is biased, then its output will be biased. The other way for bias to show up in algorithms has to do with the algorithms themselves. So if you have a system, let's say, for instance, that is an algorithm on LinkedIn that is used to generate search results for a recruiter who's looking for, you know, a certain type of person in a certain geography, that algorithm can be based on a whole range of factors. And some of those factors may correlate closely to certain either genders or racial groups. And so even though the algorithm itself isn't looking at or making a decision based on race or gender, it can sort of pick up habits and then think that, oh, this is likely the results that a person wants. So a good example of that would be LinkedIn actually told me that they found that women on their platform tend not to accept invitations to connect from people. That can affect the algorithms if the algorithm is saying, hey, you know, we want to look at how many connections a person has or how often they connect with people as a factor in determining where they appear in search results. So, you know, what ultimately happens is what it learns can adversely affect, you know, a certain population.
Right. And that often ladders back to the people who built the algorithms, right?
Yeah, that also can play a part because it's well reported that the tech industry, especially software engineers, is predominantly a white male sector. And, you know, they just may not think of things or realize how bias can appear in certain algorithms and, you know, may not even have the presence of mind to figure out how to address it.
So as we mentioned, this is an issue that we have been hearing a lot about lately, especially in light of this summer's Black Lives Matter protests. So what are companies doing about this? What are some of the solutions we've seen so far?
So, yeah, a lot of companies have been responding, you know, making statements and financial contributions to social justice groups and what have you. But they're also, in some cases, looking internally to see, you know, in what ways might we be running or using algorithms that can perpetuate bias. Some companies like IBM and Accenture develop these toolkits, not only for internal use, but also for companies in all sectors, whether it's banking or retail, to see, okay, is my data biased? Are my algorithms biased? And if so, you know, how much so and what can I do to fix it?
And the latest, of course, to do this was LinkedIn. They just announced a new tool yesterday on Tuesday. Tell us about their solution. How does it work?
Yeah. So LinkedIn announced a quote unquote fairness toolkit. It's called LIFT. It stands for LinkedIn Fairness Toolkit. One of the main things it does is compares an algorithm's results to the underlying data set that algorithm is built on. So an example of that would be if a recruiter is on LinkedIn and is trying to look up journalists in New York, for instance, and the search algorithm spits out 10 results and 7 of the 10 are men and the other 3 are women. But the actual ratio of men to women in New York is 50-50. The algorithm can say, hey, there's a discrepancy here.
So the tool flags that discrepancy, but then what? How does the problem, you know, actually get fixed, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good point, because these algorithms are not flipping a switch and your bias problem is solved. It doesn't quite work that easily. So, yes, it points the issue out. It can tell you how big of a deal it is. And then it's really up to the software engineers and some of the leaders of the company to figure out how to go about fixing it. So they can, you know, do a couple of things. One is to revisit the data to make sure it actually does, you know, represent the population. But if you've already sort of cleaned up your data and you've got the best data that you could get, then another option is to actually go into the algorithm and tweak, you know, some of the main factors that it considers in making its decisions.
Why is it important for LinkedIn specifically to be doing this? What is the impact of that company in particular taking this kind of action?
You know, I think the idea, and I've heard this from several, you know, outsiders, but the idea is to get a sense of awareness about how big the bias problem is, who it might be affecting the most. Because up until this point, you know, most companies weren't even really, I mean, I'm sure they could guess that there was a problem, but they couldn't quantify it and may not have known where to start in terms of trying to fix it. So the reason that it's significant that LinkedIn jumped into this, you know, they're the largest, you know, professional social networking site in the world. They have more than 700 million users. A lot of recruiters use the site, sort of dictating where people appear in search results or who they get recommended to connect to. Even things like filtering out harassment is another thing they use algorithms for. I mean, all of those things can impact and affect real opportunities for real people. So LinkedIn so far has gotten some praise, if you will, for developing this and using it and also making it open source.
Right. Making it open source so that more companies can adopt it potentially. So we could be seeing more tools like this.
Yeah. I think this is a trend that is not likely to go anywhere anytime soon. The only thing that I've spoken to researchers who said, again, these tools sometimes can be used for ethics washing, where companies say, hey, I've got this tool, so I'm ethical now, and it doesn't quite work like that. You actually need systems in place and people in place who can effectively address some of these issues.
All right. Our reporter, Jared Counsell, thanks so much for being here.
All right. Thanks.
And that was your tech news briefing. We've got lots more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. So check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.